bring greetings this morning in our Savior's name, and welcome to each one here this morning. Special welcome to our visitors. Welcome. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 for an opening scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Maybe we could stand for the reading of the scripture. For those that can stand. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with y'all, for your furtherance in the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me, by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing be terrified, by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and this that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. You may be seated. Going back to verse 20, the last part of that verse says, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Yesterday I was... Well, this past week I was praying for a message, and it just seemed like it was dry. There was nothing there. And yesterday morning in our family devotions, we read the story there in Beside the Still Waters. And this was the verse that was quoted. Let's read this again. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So this message was inspired by the article in the Beside the Still Waters by Daniel Mast. And that was the title. Christ shall be magnified by life or by death. So I'll just read a portion of that article. The first Anabaptists to be arrested were Felix Montz, George Blaurock, and Conrad Grebel, and 15 others. Now keep that 15 others in mind. These were held in prison for several months and then brought to trial on March 5 through 7, 1526. Because they would not renounce their baptism as adults, they were sentenced to confinement in a dungeon of the prison tower, deprived of all visitors, bedded on straw and fed only bread and water. Thus, let them die in the tower unless someone desists from his acts and error. Despite these conditions, the prisoners remained faithful to their convictions. On March 21st, 1526, 500 years ago, last night, it was a stormy night. One of the prisoners noticed a high window shutter that appeared to be loose. They climbed up and discovered that they could open it wide enough for a person to squeeze through. With the rope that had lowered them into the dungeon, each prisoner was pulled up and then lowered into the dry moat outside. They discussed where to go, even mentioning that they should go to the new land across the sea. The guard at the tower gate was a brother to one of the prisoners and let them go. Sometime later, some, if not most of them, were martyred for their faith. Now, another article in the same magazine was by Benuel Glick. On January 8, 1956, the world was shocked to hear of five dedicated missionaries who were speared to death by the Aka Indians in the jungle of Ecuador. Do you know their names? You know any of their names? Jim Elliott? Nate Saint? There was a Roger Yowdering, a Pete Fleming, and a Ed McCulley. You know, it's amazing to me that we remember Felix Mons, George Blaurock, Conrad Grebel. We remember Jim Elliott. We remember Nate Saint and the others. We knew there was five of them. I couldn't have given you their names either. But these brethren sensed a burden to bring the gospel message to an unreached tribe of the tribe of the Indians. It meant violent. That's kind of in their language. That's what they became known by. These men made contact with the Indians by plane, dropping gifts down in a bucket. And again, I'm not exactly sure how that was. I think they flew in a tight circle and hung the bucket out the plane or the rope. And this bucket came down to the earth, and it just kind of stood there. And these Indians grabbed the bucket and took the gifts out of the bucket. Eventually, thinking that God had opened the door, they did this for a couple of months, I think. And eventually, the Indians started to put gifts back into the bucket. Eventually, thinking God had opened the door for the gospel, they landed on the beach beside the river with the initial physical contact of the Indians that was friendly. But eventually, they were killed, speared to death on that riverbank. Christ shall be magnified by life or death. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Who is mentioned in this chapter that was martyred? Stephen. Verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. This was Stephen. They cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was martyred for his faith, testimony, for his faith and testimony of in the Lord Jesus. Preaching Jesus Christ to the Jews. Acts 12. One and two. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded for his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read on in verse 3. We'll read down to verse 19. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind up thy sandals." So he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." He went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, passed on through the one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." Today we would say, "You're nuts." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued to knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought after him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Herod the king had also arrested Peter with the intention of to kill him because it pleased the Jews. But Peter's work here on earth was not done yet. God was not finished with him. So he miraculously saved him the night before his execution. Now later in life, Peter... At his martyrdom, Peter requested to be crucified upside down, head down, feet up, because he did not feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus. Paul, one of the most recognized names in the Bible, and even today, suffered much because of faithfully following his Lord and Master Jesus Christ. His life was a testimony of faithfulness to Christ and Paul's desire for Jesus Christ to be his all in all. He also eventually was martyred. You know, we look at these Bible characters. We could think of Abraham. We could think of Esther, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. These were all Bible characters that were mightily used by God. They were mightily, they magnified the Lord Jesus in their life. And we look at them and say, if we could just be that way. There was many people that were martyred for their faith. And what a way to bring glory to God, to magnify the Lord Jesus. You know, there's names that are recognizable 2,000 years later. And we instantly recognize Paul, Peter. We know those names. We recognize Felix Mons. We recognize Minna Simons. Peter, the picture was right over here in the where he was running away from this captures, or the guy that was chasing him, and he ran across the water and the guy fell in. You remember that story? You know, what was his name? Thank you. It wasn't Peter. Dirk Willems. I mean, these are names that we recognize. They were mightily used by God. Their testimony rang true down through the ages. And in the Anabaptist world, these are names especially that we recognize. Today, we have the Dale Heisey's, we have the Pablo Yoders, we have the Sim Yoders, and others who are fairly well known in the Anabaptist world. And we look at them and think, if I could only preach like he could, or if I could only be a kindly old grandfather. You know, I had to think of Sim Yoder, just a kindly grandfatherly figure. What a blessing. Bringing glory to God, magnifying the Lord Jesus. You know, all these people I mentioned were well known in their life and death. There's still some that are still alive. They were faithful in daily life. Now get that. They were faithful in daily life. They were ordinary people serving a extraordinary Savior. What about the 15 others that were with the three that we recognize? What about them? Who are they? Is it important that their names be recognized or that we know who they are? Is that important? If our name isn't recognized a 500 to 1,000, 2,000 years later, did we live in vain? Did we fail to magnify the Lord? Is the only way that we can magnify the Lord is if our name is recognized in the future? Is that the only way that we can magnify the Lord? What do you think? Is it? No. You know these five men that were killed by the Alca Indians? They were not able to, they hardly knew anything of the Indians' language, so they weren't really able to communicate. They communicated in about two or three sentences, and they were trying to establish a relationship with these Indians, but they were not able to present the gospel to these Indians. Now, do you remember Jim Elliot's wife? What was her name? Anyone? I'm sorry? Elizabeth. Elizabeth Elliot and, now get this, her daughter. Do you know her name? I have no idea. But her daughter, Elizabeth and her daughter, they went to live with these Indians. Showing them that they forgive them for killing their father, husband. They lived with them for, I don't know how long, but it was a few years. It was their testimony that brought the gospel to these Indians. Yes, the blood of these five martyrs sowed the seed, but the faithfulness of those living quiet, obedient lives, loving the Lord with all their heart, showed these people and taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their testimony watered the seeds that their husband had sown. Later it tells us, we're told that one of these men that were through these spears was converted, and he preached. He was a minister in one of the churches. So God uses both types of people for his kingdom work. Those that are well known and those that live lives that just seem commonplace, just seems ho-hum. Those that are well known for their firebrand lifestyle, martyrdom, and sacrifice, God uses those for his magnification, for to magnify the name of the Lord. But he also uses those that remain anonymous after they die, and people don't even realize that they lived on the earth, but their lives brought forth abundant godly fruit. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 to cement this thought. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, said they received not the promise, the promise of Christ coming. Did you notice that it says women and others? Just because the Bible doesn't mention their names, does that mean their life was not magnifying the Lord Jesus? No, absolutely not. We again notice verse 39, where it says, these all have obtained a good report through faith. And obviously, faithful living. You know, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, who? Lois. And in thy mother? Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. To my knowledge, that this is the only place that Timothy's mother and grandmother's name is mentioned. In fact, there's no other name Lois in the Bible. And this is all we know of them. But this does not make them any less important in their magnification of Jesus Christ. I would like for us to get this. This does not make them any less important in the eyes of God. It does not make them any less important than Timothy, the leader in the church. The one that was a contemporary and intimate companion of Paul, the apostle. So this morning, how can the many anonymous millions, including us, who live and die in obscurity, magnify their God? That's the question I would like to ask us. You know, if we live in and die in obscurity, how can we magnify God? Luke 24, 45 through 49. This is Jesus speaking. And he says this. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued from the power on high. Beginning at Jerusalem. That is where it starts, where we magnify the Lord. Beginning at Jerusalem, beginning at home. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 19, Jesus Christ said this, in your patience possess ye your souls. Now, patience has the idea of being cheerful or hopeful, having cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy. Just being constant, enduring, patient, patient continuance, waiting. That's the idea of this patient. So in patience, possess, this word possess has the idea of acquiring, obtaining, possessing, providing, purchasing. So Jesus said, in your patience, you have received your souls. God is and has called us to serve the Lord one step at a time in steadiness, keeping the faith, even in trying times. So that is number one. We start at home, and we, in steady continuance, live for God. Number two, we are faithful where God has placed us, doing his will from day to day. You know, again, we look at these Bible characters, these well-known Bible characters, and say, if only we could be like them. Remember, they were ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. There is no difference for us. We are ordinary people serving a holy God. These people were serving God in the place that he had called them, and they were doing it faithfully. There is no difference for us. When we serve God where God has called us and we do it faithfully, God is magnified. Yes, we endeavor to be more surrendered. We endeavor to be more committed, to be more for Jesus Christ. But content as well where God has placed us at this time in our life. You know, when we run ahead of God, we remove ourselves from his blessing and the full potential of our life blessing others. So we are faithful where God has called us, where God has placed us. Number three, there's faithfulness at home. Remember, we begin at Jerusalem. Faithfulness at homes, at home. Fathers, loving your wife, if you're married, the mother of your children, if you have children, love your wife. Provide for them leadership in the home. Provide leadership. Don't be afraid to provide leadership. Give direction. Show your wife and children what the Lord's will is. Of course, you do it together, but finally, it's going to be up to you. Show your family how and what it means to serve the Lord. We are faithful at home. It is our responsibility to equip our sons with knowledge how to work and to enjoy it. It is our responsibility to show our sons what it means to love your wife. If they ever get married, then they have a role model of, well, this is how I love my wife. That is your responsibility. Provide leadership. It is our responsibility to show our children, our sons especially, how to be faithful and godly, even when no one else is around to witness our behavior. You know, we acknowledge our children's successes and are willing to address their failures. Be willing to apologize, show humility for our own mistakes and failures. You know, when Dad is able to apologize, when Dad is able to humbly admit that he was wrong, it provides a way that the sons can say, well, yes, this is the way we act. This is the way a Christian acts. This is the way we bring glory to and honor and magnify the Lord Jesus. Now, mothers, submitting to your husband, supporting him in teaching, training, loving your children, respecting his authority and leadership, being a godly helpmeet for him, you bring glory and honor and magnify the Lord Jesus. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult as far as the knowledge of how to glorify God. We live and obey the Lord Jesus and his direction in the scriptures. If you fulfill and find satisfaction in your calling of life, there are many, many people, I was going to say women, there's probably a lot of women there too, that they love the thought of being married, but they struggle with the responsibilities that come with it. Remember, when you find satisfaction and find your role in life fulfilling, in the glory of God, you are magnifying the Lord Jesus. Remember, your calling is, if you're married, your calling is to serve your children, your family, at home. Teaching your daughters how to keep house, how to cook, how to love their children if they ever get married and have children. You know, that's something that's... I didn't look this up, but I think it's in Titus or Timothy 1, Titus maybe, Titus 2, where Paul was encouraging Titus, writing to Titus and saying that the older women teach the younger to love their husbands. You remember that story? You remember that scripture? And how to love their children. This is fulfilling your calling. This is glorifying, magnifying the Lord Jesus. So please, don't despise your calling at home. Create a joyful place by being a joyful mom, a joyful wife. Minister to the needs of your family, mending hearts and lives, drawing your family into a unit of love and companionship, creating a home where the husband, the children love to come home to. Remember, you can't minister to your people at home when you're not there. You have to be there. So don't despise that calling to be at home. That is God's will, that the ladies stay at home and make and keep house. And it's not a lowly calling. It's a tremendous calling. You know, Friday, my wife and I were over at Woodbury to attend the Susanna Heise's visitation. We went over in the morning, came back that night, kind of a flying trip. But as we were talking to Dale, Brother Dale, he mentioned that his prayer had been that Suzanne could pass on, so she didn't have to suffer as much. And yet, she just kind of lingered on. She was, as I understood, I don't know how long it was since she was she wasn't lucid. Disease had affected the mind that she couldn't really think. She didn't recognize the children most of the time. So it was hard on him. And he had prayed that God would somehow take her on home. But then he made this statement. And I don't remember, did he say the Lord told me or the Lord showed me? But one of those two. He said the Lord, I'm just going to use the word show, the Lord showed me that her work was not done. That her work on earth was not done yet. She was still ministering to her family, healing hearts, in her unconscious state, she was still ministering to her family. And I don't know how this happened, other than just simply, there was Mom. And hearts were tender. God was able to speak. If you think about it, pray for his son, Nate. During this time, he's been very, yeah, he left, I don't even know if he would confess to be a Christian or not. He may, but pray for him. He's been struggling very much. But this is Mom, this is Mother, healing the hearts of her children, her family. Magnifying the Lord Jesus as she lay there. Children, love and respect your parents. Show kindness to each other, and especially those that have received the Lord Jesus in your heart. Show your brothers and sisters, your siblings, that this is what the Lord Jesus would do. And the world around you, the difference that Christ Jesus makes in your life as you follow him. And number four, faithfulness in your community. Christianity is not very practical in most communities around the world. Be faithful in your community. So therefore, as we interact and come in contact with our neighbors and folks in the community, we have the opportunity, no, maybe I should say responsibility, to live a godly, consistent life as we touch people's hearts and lives, pointing them to God and to Jesus Christ, boldly magnifying the name of the Lord without being ashamed. You know, we magnify the Lord by our by life or death when we live in surrender to him. There it is. We magnify the Lord when we live in surrender to his will. Allowing Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and living a joyful, thankful life to him. So this morning, what is your testimony? What is mine? Have you found joy in living for him in the humdrum of life? Have you found, are you faithful in the life you live from day to day? Were you faithful yesterday? You know, we're working on our house at home, changing siding. And the other day, the boys dug a ditch to uncover the footing so we can lay some block on there, and we had to move the pipe, drain pipe, as far as the for the gutters. And I was trying to get all that hooked back together, and it was hot, and I was out there, and trying to cover this ditch. Was I faithful in joyful serving the Lord for my family at that time? It becomes real. On the job, boys, men, are you joyful? Are you faithful? Do you find joy in serving the Lord as you work for others? Mothers, do you find joy and peace and love in serving your family, your husband, your children, those that you come in contact with? Right here at home. If we're not faithful here, we won't be faithful there. We look at these people and we see all these glorious people, you know, the opportunity and the the people that are serving the Lord out there, and they're making such a difference. My friend, the only reason they're making a difference is because they're faithful. Right there. Are we faithful here at home? We will make a difference as well. They are faithful. These people are faithful in Kenya and wherever, all these other places, because they are faithful to the calling that God has given them. You know, I'm reminded of the song, This Little Light of Mine. I had no idea that Brian was going to suggest it. Thank you, Brian. Shine it all over Arkansas. Here a light, there a light. You know, there's 94 people here. And I realize some of these are little babies. But that's a lot of light. If we have a candle here and a candle there and a candle wherever you go, carry that candle with you. Be faithful. And God will be magnified in life or in death. We may never know whose life we touch, have touched, or challenged. But remember, God is not forgetful to recognize your labor of love. Let's kneel for prayer.